Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Talking Steelers Football. I'm Bob Labriola, joined as always by Mike Prisuta of the DVE Morning Show. I had started calling it Armageddon, the quest without Ben. The quest didn't go so well. Steelers lose to the Ravens 13-10. I am cranky enough this morning to point some fingers. I'm ready to go. And
I'm a little sleep deprived, but I'll play along. Maybe I can enhance your mood further.
Okay.
Did you hear the Ravens mockingly singing Renegade entering their locker room last night? They weren't singing it with any respect to Stinks or Sticks. Sticks is the name
Sticks.
Of the group.
Yeah, and why should they? I mean, why should they?
On many levels.
The defense, though, I thought played well enough to win. Certainly deserved a better fate. Did not give up a touchdown. Defended the grass when the Ravens took the ball over inside the red zone after Mike Wallace's fumble.
Quick change.
Good job there. Bottled up Ray Rice. Didn't let him convert third downs. Torrey Smith, one catch for 7 yards. I got no issues with the defense.
Another quarterback under, 174 yards?
Yes. Good play by the corners.
Nobody's thrown for 300 yards against this team since the great Tom Brady when he was at Michigan. Not quite. 2010.
Yeah.
It's been a while.
Good job by the defense. Everything that we talked about in terms of what the Steelers defense needed to do in order to help the team win a game without Ben Roethlisberger, they came through, in my opinion.
Yeah, it was interesting. I found Baltimore's approach curious. I thought the Ravens were really conservative. They tried that one deep ball early to Torrey Smith that Ike Taylor made just a phenomenal play on. And then even like after the quick change, they didn't even throw it in the end zone. The third and long, they
right.
threw underneath to Ray Rice. It looked kind of like they were thinking, all right, the Steelers aren't going to hurt us very much, so we're not going to make it easy for them. We're not going to give them anything. We'll just take what we get as this thing goes on. But that said, the numbers are the numbers, and the numbers are phenomenal. Did not expect Baltimore to come in here and score 10 points.
And if they did, you think you're going to win.
Yeah. And I thought if they did, at least it would be an offensive touchdown.
Yes.
Which there was none of those.
Right. So, okay, here we go. Let's start. I've seen this game, too, before. I've seen this. I've seen them lose games like this on special teams. Been there. Done that. A couple of times. Even in a game that ended with a trophy presentation, even though it's not one of the silver footballs, it's one of the other ones that allows you to go to play for the silver football. But I don't care how good this guy is, and I'm here to say he is very good.
Were you talking about the Lamar Hunt trophy a moment ago?
Yes.
Okay.
Very nice. Nicely done.
The other one's the Halas, right? The NFC's is the George Halas
Yes,
trophy.
I think so, yes.
How come there's no Ditka trophy?
There might be.
There should be.
I think
the Quips are going to win that Friday.
Could be.
For those of you out of market, that would be Aliquippa High School where Mike Ditka attended proudly.
Right.
But I digress.
You certainly do. But bad special teams. I don't care how good Jacoby Jones is, and I'm here to tell you he is very good. You cannot allow him to return a kick, and by that I mean punt or kickoff for a touchdown. Cannot happen. I don't care if you kick it out of bounds every time. I don't care what you have to do. You don't do that. And,
the defense was playing, they'd be better off turning it over at the 11-yard line.
Yeah, go for it on fourth down every time.
That saves you 11 yards. Yeah. Maybe they don't get those 11 yards.
There was that. And then the other thing, the Steelers' return games did nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing.
The only intel I got on the punt return by Jones was what Mike Tomlin said in the post game. He said they double-blocked the gunners and they didn't get there. And I can verify that because the only video I've seen was off of NFL.com today. I watched the highlight package. Oh, I think it was about 3 in the morning. And when he catches the ball, Bob, there's nobody else in the frame.
Again, and I.
So I don't know if that's a line drive kick. I don't know if it's not defeating blocks, what have you.
Well, let's do the arithmetic. Yeah. If they spend four guys blocking two, that's four, and their returner, that's five guys on two. Okay, we'll throw in the punter, so that's five on three. So they got six against your eight. Yeah.
Even take out the snapper, you got them outnumbered.
The snapper is at least a space eater.
Yeah.
You know, if you run at Greg Warren and come right at him, he can make a tackle. He's not athletic in space or any of those things. He's not going to be running people down. But, I'm not saying that they didn't do a good job on the Gunners. Hey, good for them. Somebody else has to make a play. And, again, it is not that complicated. You know, tackle the guy with the ball. There is no scheme to recognize. There is very little of anything. I mean, it is a want to, and it is a get it done. And I don't know that players went into this with a laissez-faire attitude. I would not suggest that because I don't know. But what I can't tell you is you give up a return for a touchdown in a game like that, you are going to lose a large majority of those games, and that's what happened. The other thing –
and that was a relatively easy one. I think Baron Batch diving may have touched his foot. He didn't run through anybody. He didn't spin and make anybody miss. He did what we said he was going to do. He caught a football, decided where he was going to run really fast, and then proceeded to do so.
Yeah. Okay. And now let's go to my other – big complaint for the day. I love the guy. Okay, I love what he's brought here. I think he might be arguably the best offseason acquisition this football team made. But Todd Haley did not give the ball to Jonathan Dwyer enough. Now, I don't know if Mendenhall was in there as an edict by the head coach, but Jonathan Dwyer, 12 carries for 55 yards. That's about 12 carries too few for me.
Yeah.
The game was what the game was. It
three
was
a, or six-point game right, most of the time.
The whole time.
Yeah.
The whole time. And at no point did they ever stuff him. Never. That there were two or three runs in a row where he wasn't gaining anything. You know, it's not like he had 55 yards with a 41-yard run. Okay? This guy was 11, 7, 5, 4 the whole game. The Ravens can't stop the run. You average the 5.0 carry was largely because of Leftwich's 31-yard run, but I did not understand the game plan. I did not understand the game plan.
Who got stuffed on the third down early?
I don't know. I don't recall which.
I can't
which
remember.
Which situation are you talking about?
But the Steelers had the ball at one point and they got stopped.
Third and one.
Yeah.
Well, first quarter was a pass. That was the first third and short. The first third and short that the Steelers faced in the game, they threw the ball.
I'll say this: I was a little surprised at the disparity of pass attempts versus run attempts.
Second quarter. 5:19 left, third and one. Dwyer got stuffed.
Yeah, so maybe that scared him off. A lot of things. Maybe the slant to Wallace that he fumbled scared him off of that play. It looked kind of disjointed. It was funny the way they started. Funny in a wow, look at that sense where it's a seven-step drop and you're going right downtown, and then you run an end around by David Gilreath, and you're thinking, okay, here we go, throwing it out there, attacking these guys. But it never settled back into what they usually do.
Right.
And Todd Haley had said he was going to adjust the offense to Byron Leftwich's strengths, but he said the changes were not going to be dramatic. I think they were dramatic last night. There was a lot of drop-back passing on a night they were having a hard time protecting. And that's, if you allow my number one beef, it's the way that a team that had 16 sacks coming in looked like the 2000 Ravens rushing the passer. And then here, offensive linemen after the game, Willie Colon and Max Starks talking about multiple mental errors and just blown assignments. The sack that ended the second to last possession of the game was a four-man rush, and the safety comes clean. There's three Ravens opposite Max Starks, Willie Colon, and Marquise Pouncey. And Max gets his guy, and Pouncey gets his guy, and Willie goes to help Pouncey with his guy, and the safety comes right up through the hole. Pow. I don't know if seven's in there, if that makes any difference at that point, because you see 3-on-3, you're expecting at least some resistance.
Yeah.
And at this point of the season, for there to be multiple mental errors, admittedly, I think is way below the line.
Yes. First half, 19, by my calculation, 19 pass plays in that. Leftwich attempted 17, was sacked once, and ran once. So then that would be 19 passes and 10 runs. Yes. 2-1 passing against a team that is, what were they, 27th in the league against the run?
I think 27th overall.
Okay.
Down there against the run. Yeah. Bad.
You know, I just thought that, you know, there may have been some excitement in the planning stages for this game from the Steelers' offensive standpoint, in terms of, you look at the Ravens' defense, oh, no corners, we can do this. Oh, they can't rush the passer, we can do this. They can't stop the run, we can do this. And you don't really, I don't know, settle into what you can end up doing well that particular night.
Yeah.
Because it's what
– very valid point.
It's what you can do in those 3 hours that matters, not what you think you saw on Tuesday or Wednesday or Thursday or whatever. So
it became apparent to me pretty early they were going to have protection issues.
Yes. Well, especially the Mike Adams-Paul Kruger matchup.
Yeah. Well, the Leftwich run was precipitated by Terrell Suggs beating Mike Adams clean to the inside, which flushed Leftwich outside. And then it was Kruger after that, and they're keeping Heath Miller in, I thought, a lot. I thought Heath Miller was into block.
Me too.
A lot.
Well, he had to be.
He said it was not out of the norm. It was nothing unusual.
Well, Heath isn't going to – he's not going to say – you know what I mean? That's the kind
of – he's not going to throw the line under the bus. But, yeah, so you don't have Antonio Brown. He's your MVP last year, right?
Yes.
And Heath Miller was your leading receiver on the season going into this game. You take those two guys out of it, and you're playing with your backup quarterback, and you're still throwing the ball all over the yard.
Right. Right. Yeah, it made no sense to me. I think that, you know, in retrospect, it was a contributor to the outcome, which was, you know, not what we wanted to see. Now, you know, you and I and Jerry Dulac kicked this around on the pregame show on 102.5, the Steelers, the flagship of the Steelers Radio Network, yesterday.
That'd be WDVE right here in Pittsburgh.
Didn't I say that? I think I did.
Oh, I thought you just said 102.5.
Oh, well.
Which, we're kind of like Madonna. You can identify us that way.
Okay.
Pele. Some more one-name people.
Lady Gaga. Well, that's two.
That's
names.
Two.
Well, I think she shortened it just to Gaga. But anyway, the Steelers now, two games behind the Ravens in the AFC North. I think that, you know.
I think we're going to New England or Houston.
If. You still confident of a playoff spot?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. You know, I really anticipated a better better play from the quarterback position yesterday. Didn't get it. He didn't get a lot of help, but didn't get that.
And as you had pointed out before the game, he needed some help.
Oh, absolutely.
The rest of them needed to play
better than they normally do.
As mistake-free as possible, and somebody needed to make a play here and there.
Right. You cannot be fumbling on a big play reception. I mean,
he probably shouldn't have had the third longest run of the season.
Right.
He probably shouldn't have scored the only touchdown of the game.
Right. You know, again, it had to be a total team effort. Everyone in a helmet and everyone wearing a headset. And too often there were failures there. But anyway, let's, you know, going back to look at how the AFC stacks up this morning, Steelers two games behind the Ravens in the division race. I pretty much think, and this is another thing we talked about in the pregame show yesterday, this is pretty much over, the division race, I believe. Two games
the Ravens
behind,
are being fitted for their AFC North Champions 2012 race.
Yeah, because – you know, the Ravens are 4-0 in the division already. Even if the Steelers would go there and win, they would probably need another division team to beat the Ravens, to get that to a tie, to get to the next tiebreaker, and the only division game the Ravens have left is at Cincinnati at the end. You know, I don't know if things will be tight enough at that point, you know, for that really to matter in terms of vaulting the Steelers, you know, to the top of the division. So, you know, now you're into the with the Indianapolis Colts and the Bengals. The Indianapolis Colts, the Bengals, and the Steelers are the only non-division leaders over 500 in the AFC right now.
Yeah, there's a bunch of teams at 4-6.
Right,
San Diego's probably the best of those. If they're, you know, that's a pretty relative best. But you know, I think your season's probably going to come down to a large part now beating the Bengals here and beating San Diego here. That gets you to 8.
What are you looking at in Dallas?
Toss up, maybe.
Oh yeah, I think it is too. But I mean, when you're doing your numbers,
I mean that's an NFC game, so that's probably not going to kill you if that is a loss. 6 wins right now. Beat Cleveland at home, let's say, that's 7. Beat San Diego, that's 8. Beat Cincinnati, that's 9. 9-7 might be enough in that circumstance. Because you would have a sweep over the Bengals. You would have head-to-head over the Chargers. And they're certainly not done losing yet.
Yeah.
Based on the way they played against the great Peyton Manning.
Still some hope.
And the Colts, I mean, New England only scored 59 points on them. So maybe that balloon's starting to leak a little
there. Well, you know, based on the arithmetic that you just cited, there is legitimate hope based on what I saw last night. They say it's the 24-hour rule, only celebrate for 24 hours. Well, I'm only going to bitch and moan for 24 hours, and the way I look at it is I got a few more hours left before my 24 is up.
Yeah, funny and, game, though. You know, if Mike Wallace comes down with that catch in the corner of the end zone late in the third quarter, it's an entirely different outlook.
Oh, absolutely. I believe if Mike Wallace doesn't fumble – in the first quarter, that's a different because the way that game was rolling, the crowd was into it. You know, I'm not saying the Ravens were going to collapse, but we talked about this last week. You know, if you give them some reasons to be confident in your building, they will take advantage of that, and they are good enough and have won enough there that, you know, hey, they can think that we can do this again. I just thought it was critical to jump on them early, not necessarily blow them out, but not give them any reason to believe that this was going to be like the previous 2 regular season games there. However, that's exactly what the Steelers did.
Yeah, and maybe you might be right on that fumble because that was, what, the second possession?
Right. And it was one of those slant things.
It was a big play. It was at least the first down, right. And now you're rolling a little bit again. Hey, right. Got the ball, scored in 3 plays, got right. It again. Here we go.
And the defense 3 and out. I mean, you're playing, you know, they're trying to withstand an early onslaught. To me, a lot of times – the turning point in a game sometime can take place in the first quarter. That'll do it for this edition of Talking Steelers Football. For Mike Pursuta, I'm Bob Labriola. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you soon.